get and do it by the proper authority. Get the authority or the okay, and then act according to that authority. This is important when we are serving God. Relating to God acceptably, successfully, dependent on our feelings, our likes or dislikes, our whims and our fancies, and just what seems good in our eyes. It cannot be. We have been spoiled by sin. And it means we do not see things properly. We need God to tell us how to please Him, what He wants and how He wants it. That's what this lesson on authority is all about. That God must reveal to us how to please Him. And this is why the entire Bible is about. While the Old Testament was largely for the Israelites, and meant also that we can read and study and understand God and His ways better, the New Testament was meant largely to guide our lives, those of us living beside of the cross of Jesus Christ. While we are anxious to get to the New Testament in this lesson, we want to bring up at least one more case of acting by or on the wrong authority. The first king of Israel, selected by the Almighty God, within a very short time, after having been selected, Saul was rejected by God. I mean, within a short time. But, as we are going to note in this text of 1 Samuel chapter 13, it surrounds Saul acting by or on the wrong authority. Let us run to this passage. I said 1 Samuel chapter 13, and if you don't mind, from around verse 8. Let us have it.
And he tarried 7 days. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed.
May I? There was war that was almost a continuous thing for the Israelites. But in this case, there was war between the Israelites and the Philistines. Samuel, a type of priest prophet, instructed the king, don't start the battle until the sacrifice has been offered by me. I'm going on some mission. Just wait until I come back. Remember, it was not Saul's prerogative to offer the sacrifice. He had been given plain and simple instruction, easy to be understood. When I come and offer the sacrifice, then you can begin the battle with the Philistines. The Philistine camp was within vision distance. The Israelite could see them. And Saul waited, and Samuel did not come. But it's like I told you, I'll be here on Tuesday. No, I didn't say Tuesday morning, I didn't say Tuesday midday, I didn't say Tuesday afternoon. I said Tuesday. What it appears today here is that Saul was anxious. But look here. Fear and lack of confidence create anxiety for us. If we shall ever deal with our fear, Saul became anxious because of fear, fearing the Philistine. And as the anxiety grew, you look at the person for you, I become, and you keep looking at your watch, No, calm down. You know, sometimes we have a way of, it's not verbalized, but it's within it. Why God takes this for now? Wait on the Lord. So Saul waited, and Samuel didn't come, but the day didn't finish. So the brother going to pick up now, just before Samuel came, while Saul, the king, the leader, and the Israelites were trembling with anxiety. Read.
And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed.
Mm-hmm.
But Samuel came not to Gilgal.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were scattered from him.
The people were scattered from him. There are so much for leaders in God's business to learn. We are to be studying a type of leader with God's help that when the people are scattering, we must still take our stand. You know the talk about the last man standing? We must have that attitude that we will be the last person standing for Jesus Christ. The people were scattering. This creates a lot of problems for King Saul. Read.
And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me,
mm-hmm.
and a peace offering.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered the burnt offering.
You are listening? But Brother Mitchell, that's a simple business. That's worship. Good God, our worship. That's the way some of us reason. Yes, God wants worship, but he wants worship to be done his way.
Amen.
To this day, God does not want us to just go and do our thing. God always wants us to do his thing. Saul, after the sacrifice, and you are still asking, but Mr. Mitchell, that's worship, nothing wrong with that. Something is wrong with it if we are not following God's directive. So many people go to worship to get entertainment. That was not the purpose for which God designed worship. If anybody can be entertained by worship, it's the Almighty God. So don't plan worship around you or us, the worshiper. What we like, we want our piano, and we want the tune to be played in that reggae beat. Huh? And on the communion table of life, my heart will bring some peace there for me. Worship. Those are not worship. When worship is slack, disarmed, take the truth, the worshiper, it ceases to be worship. Saul offered the sacrifice. That's not his business. The Almighty God had given that duty to Samuel. Don't ever say it doesn't make any difference. To whom? To whom does it not make any difference? Read on, brother.
And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering.
You get the point? He not finished good yet. Then Samuel appeared.
Behold, Samuel appeared.
May I? Lots of times, the delay of the prophet priest Samuel was to test Saul's faith. Oh, our faith is being tested every day. Read on.
And Saul went out to meet him,
That
he might salute him.
Wait. Now, brother, that's it. There's so much here. The tendency here, we are to learn from. We are not to extend ourselves. That is, Saul said, oh, he didn't see what he did as being wrong and sinful. When he saw the prophet, he went out to greet the prophet. He felt everything was okay. It was not. We are like that sometimes, and this is all the more reason we must be careful. As we relate to God, remember the only successful way to relate to God is God's way. And you know another thing? We must constantly carry out self-examination. Constantly. Read, brother.
That he might salute him.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul and Samuel said, What hast thou done?
You see the question of the prophet, what have you done? No, this is not an ordinary question. What have you done? We just offer the sacrifice. No, it's not just offer the sacrifice. That's not your business. Read, brother.
And Saul said,
Because
I saw that the people were scattered from me.
Yes, again. Those that we work with, can have positive or negative effect on how we carry out our work. Are we all here? Of course, the Bible tells us, you see, the people with whom we work as God's people, we are one family, they can have positive or negative effect on us. Naturally, great, it's not unusual. The people, many country people say, I am sharp, not I am. A brother in the midst here, and he worked in Africa, and fellowship and worship. Are we out here? Because the Almighty God designed the church and Christianity, that fellowship has to be an important part of our development in Christ. Fellowship being with one another. This is here. You are a Christian. You are was told.
That's true. That's true.
That's why we need to spend more time studying the Bible, fellowship in all that it implies. The strength of one another, and we can also be one another. Now, it's important to understand that the family of human nature if we are going to believe. And that implies that the organization of the world, of course, the church is a little different, but we need to understand that the people scattered naturally. Saul would not take that kind because he needs soldiers, huh? Son of those scattered were soldiers, he needs soldiers. The Philistine camp is just over here, son, with thousands of soldiers. But Saul, while needing soldiers, should have kept his mind focused on God a bit. God does not always win with the many. Hallelujah. In many cases, he wins with the few. The people were scattered.
And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed.
Wait, Saul, stop here. You are wrong. I didn't come at the time you want, but I came within the day. Because Samuel came within the day. But Saul wanted him to come earlier. Read, brother.
And that the Philistines gathered themselves together.
You hear? The enemy?
Another thing we must learn, don't ever watch the signs of the opposition or whatever. God and one are the majority.
Was it the passage, brother Peter? You know, they that are with us. You must hear when you read a while ago. That's true. They that are with us are more than they that are with them.
Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I have not made supplication unto the Lord.
Wait. He knew that it was important that the sacrifice be offered before the battle began. He knew that. But don't rush to do on your authority what you are not supposed to do. Read, brother.
I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering.
I like unusual. I forced myself. It's nothing but fear and faithlessness that drove him to on his own authority, not on God. We are never right when we act on our authority and pushes God's own one side. Read on.
And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly.
It was foolish.
Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God.
You see the bottom line here? God's word, that's the authority. That's what all this is what about the third lesson? And I'm hoping this will be the last one in the series for now. That's what the whole lessons are about. God, what God says.
repeat what I said in the beginning, that pleasing God, serving God, relating to God acceptably and successfully cannot depend on our feelings, our life, dislike, our wills, our fancies, and how we see things. We must always check God for what He reveals in respect to what we are to do. You have done foolishly. Listen some more.
And has not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee.
Mm-hmm.
For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel.
You all get the point here? Do you all remember who we read about from the book of Samuel, right throughout the rest of the Old Testament book? And in the New Testament, there's one name keep coming up. Even probably more than Abraham is David. Huh? That means come. Because this is what the Almighty God is saying in what the brothers just said. That I would have established
thy kingdom upon Israel forever.
It could have been Saul's name that we keep reading about. Instead of But then Saul made a decision, acting on his own authority instead of God's authority. The Almighty God going to read. This is weird. Many times when you read the 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Many times when we read that, we think that is clear on the incident that God rejected Saul. No, Saul was rejected long before that. You and I are now reading at the point where God decided that Saul will not be the one who carried Jesus Christ's name or lineage until Christ comes. He's going to be David. Going to be David. But somebody said, but Mr. Mitchell, I can't understand. It is worship. It is a sacrifice. I mean, he offered it to God, yes, but by the wrong authority. When we act by the wrong authority in Christianity or religion, God will not accept it. Are we all there? So I ask the question, what all this fuss or emphasis about authority? What is it about? It is about this. It is one about the holiness of God. Holiness, Brother Mitchell, me no understand. Well, let me help you to understand. Holiness means to be set apart. That's the concept in holiness. In our holiness means we are set apart for God. God's holiness means and implies that God is set apart from man. From man's sinfulness, from man's contamination, and from man's ignorance and all of that. From man's limitation, God is set apart. The Almighty God always wants us to treat Him as He is holy. So this is why we have passage like Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1 through verse 3. And Nadab and Abihu took either of them his sense and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
Yeah.
And there went out
fire from the Lord
from the Lord
and devoured them.
That means God Read on.
And they died before the Lord.
They died before God. Brother Mitchell, what were they doing? They were worshiping God. Read, read. You see, it's worship again. You notice that? Telling us that in worship, you cannot just act anyway, do what you like and what you want. That's what you have up here in the denominational world. Just this morning, I was on the phone and there was a Southern lectureship where Brother W.F. Washington, many of you also travel, go to Fort Lauderdale, where he has a large congregation. He has done at least 2 meetings for us. That I was told that at the lectureship, just recently, that in his part as one of the leaders planned for that lecture, for the how many days he was sitting out at his own son-in-law. What's that? Who is also and a great preacher. That is the man who cries to his daughter. But that preacher wanted to introduce emotionalism and instrumental music in worship. And he gave to God brought to Washington so much that every opportunity he got at the lectureship, that was his emphasis, that the church must back out.
Then Moses, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
I will be set upon by anyone who comes near to me. That includes us. That's the word, sanctify me. I will be set apart. That means when we come close to God in worship, is it that we are singing? It's not about us and we must not get ourselves mixed up with God. When we are taking the communion, when we are giving, when we are studying His word, wait. I could come here and mix up God's word with some philosophy and some this and some that. If and when I bring in any of those, I must tell you, that is not God's word. I will be set apart. Treat God as holy when you come close to Him in worship. That's why He killed them.
And before all the people, I will be glorified.
I will be glorified.
And Aaron held his peace.
That's the Father. He must keep quiet. As I pointed out here, Aaron could not even publicly mourn for his 2 sons who had just died tragically. Now we are there. So it is all about this fuss about authority, the word of God. It's all about the holiness of God
and pleasing, serving and pleasing God. Are we all here? As I've said, serving and pleasing God is too important to be left up to our feelings, our likes, our dislike, our guesses, our whims, and our fancy. Hence, the need for divine authority. Oh Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. Jeremiah, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you what I mean. It is not in us, man, that walketh to direct our steps. Wait. This was not saying when you are going to meet and you don't know how to reach this. The step here was talking about religious, moral, and spiritual. We need God's help, God's revelation, God's voice, God's directing, God's authority to tell us not only what, but how. Jeremiah 10:23. Ladies and gentlemen, when the question was asked in the book of Matthew, chapter 21 and verse 23 through 25, by what authority do you do these things? May I? This is the question asked by the Jewish leaders to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ threw out their trading equipment, their business apparatus, they want to know by what authority Jesus Christ had physically thrown those things outside of the courtyard of the temple, because it was never built for that purpose. They want to know by what authority. You know what? The question presupposes that things of God calls for objective authority. The question
sort of is saying, when it's out of the temple, you throw the thing, you must have some authority other than just your subject itself. There must be an independent authority that gives you the right to do that. And even Jesus' question is also enlightened. That when things of moral, spiritual, or religious
importance are done, it's going to be done either on the authority of man or the authority of God. And Jesus Christ, the Bible, more than one places, has informed us that when we operate spiritually by man's authority, it is rejected by God. Can we run to Matthew 28? Matthew 28 from verse 18 through 20.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying,
mm-hmm.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Wait. I have said
that this is a passage that is misunderstood. Because many times when we discuss or get in argument about this passage,
the emphasis is on name. The passage is not dealing so much with name. Name happens to come up, but that's not what the passage is dealing with. The passage is dealing with authority. That's right. That's what the passage is dealing with. Follow me now. Or follow the passage. Start again, brother.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying,
mm-hmm.
All power is given unto
the word me. Power there is the same word that is translated other places in the New Testament for authority. Power, authority, or command. Uh-huh.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
All, not some. Power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Read.
Go ye therefore.
Wait. This we have in verse 18. Am I right? Huh?
Yes.
Then in verse 19, go ye.
Go ye therefore.
Take time with the brother. Go ye therefore. As insignificant as the word therefore is, don't ever overlook it or take it lightly. Because, you know, grammarians call it, well, it is an adverb. Some grammarians call it a conjunctive adverb. In that it sort of acts as a conjunction. It sort of dealing with the break that comes in the speech or the sentence. Go ye therefore, remember, it could be the first word instead of go, be the first word in verse 19. Therefore could be the first word. It could be therefore go. That's right. Not. But you know, go ye therefore. You see, therefore now is telling us that there is a direct connection between what has just been said and what he's about to say. So what he's about to say is still an authority. You see, therefore, go because of this authority. And the basis of this authority that I have in heaven and on earth. Go and do this on the basis of this concept here in this vehicle, making the connection between verse 18 and verse 90. Read, brother.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Uh-huh.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father.
Wait! That is, and this, you see, the same authority is continuing. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What you mean? You're not going out to do it on your own. You have the whole authority of heaven behind you. The authority of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The passage is not so much about name. It is about authority. And the word, or if you want to say the adverb, therefore, is making that connection. Authority. Going, therefore.
Baptizing them. After you have taught them. In the name of the
Father,
which means, and the authority of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the authority of the Son,
and of the Holy Ghost,
and of the authority of, wait. The authority of the Godhead is vested in me. That's why I just told you a few minutes or a few seconds ago that all authority is given to me. And it's on the basis of that I am sending you out to carry out heaven wishes. Are we all here? All power means all right of absolute authority. And all the force of absolute power will be behind you. So don't go preach and teach and carry out baptism like it originated in you, the apostle. It originates in heaven. And people need to know when you go out. That is heaven authority by which you are preaching and acting. Are we all here? This authority was given to them too, to lay down salvation conditions. One of them is mentioned here, and that is baptism. Are we all there? Are we all there? Not only to lay down salvation authority, but to give sinners forgiveness. To give sinners sanctification. To give Christ's people protection. And to perfect the church. May I? The passage, as I said, is dealing with authority and right. Therefore, for this reason, or on this account of my having gotten all authority, the authority embracing heaven and earth, the authority belonging to the Godhead. That's the authority by which you are being sent out to preach the gospel and help men and women carry out their obedience to Jesus Christ. May I? So we come now to ask and give me a few more minutes now, please. We come now to Acts, and we are going to notice, whenever you and I read in the book of Acts, that they do this in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
They are in effect doing what they were commanded to do. Most of those passages, nothing was said. We need to get that. When, like in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord, or the name of the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, what you and I have done when we read that,
we read in that, give me, brother, some of these. Acts 2:38, 8:16, etc. Let us have it.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you.
in the name of Jesus Christ.
That is not telling something the apostle said. Luke, who wrote Acts, is telling what the apostle did. When the apostles preached repentance, they were not preaching it on their whims and fancy. What they liked, how they were voting, it was being done on the authority of Jesus Christ. Hey, in the name of, when they profile or call a man or a woman that in order to benefit from the blood of Jesus Christ, in order to be forgiven, you must be baptized in Christ's name. That was from being done. In other words, this is what we did. What we preach, we preach it on this authority. What we do it on this authority. It's not something necessarily said. It is something that was done. Because they were commanded to do it.
When Christ sent them out in the Great Commission in Matthew, He was not sending them out to say something. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Holy Ghost. That Jesus Christ did not tell them there to say something. He was telling them to do it. When you go out and preach repentance, baptism for the removal of sin, you are doing it on the authority of heaven.
In other words, they were carrying out what Jesus Christ said in the Great Commission. May I note Acts 4:7-10. Note 1 Corinthians 1:13.
And when they had set them in the midst.
And when they had set them in the midst. I want you to notice this, these two verses. Watch here now. When they had set them in the midst, the apostles had prayed, the Jewish Sanhedrin council arrested them and brought them to court where they had to answer why they were preaching about Christ and resurrection and all of it. Let us hear.
They asked, by what power?
Take time with me, brother. Notice this. By what power?
Power.
Now, this is the word that is translated authority. One of the words. There are other words that is used for power. But this is one. By what power? What you know?
Or by what name?
Or by what
name?
You get what I get? You get what I get? Power or authority and name are used interchangeably.
Yeah, or.
Power means name, and name means power. That's why. By what power or
what name?
In other words, when we ask by what power, we mean in whose name you are doing it. Because when you do it in a person's name, you are doing it by that person's authority, by that person's power. That's verse 7. I want you to step down from verse 7 to verse 10.
Be it known unto you all.
Wait, the apostle now is answering. Be it known unto you all.
And to all the people of Israel.
And to all the people of Israel.
That by the name of Jesus Christ.
By the name. Peter is answering the question. What?
He died showing when they say by what form, you must understand it to mean the name in which the thing is done. You get it?
Look now, you know, as I've said sometime, a whole one third of a lesson left, and probably I never preach this lesson again for 18 years. Let me just look at 1 Corinthians 1:13. Look at it. Quick, brother, time gone.
Is Christ divided?
Is Christ divided?
Was Paul crucified for you?
Was Paul crucified for you?
Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Baptized in what?
The name of Paul.
Brother, where? Audience, that is asking, were you baptized by Paul's authority? As part of the invitation, it was not by Paul's command or Paul's authority you were baptized. That's why his name comes in here.
Look at Mark. Chapter 9, verse 41.
For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name.
Stop there. And Mark passages like this. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, then the what we call parenthesis is going to start to shine some light. So after my name, there is a comma, brother.
Yes, comma.
It has to be me.
Yes, there's a comma.
Uh-huh.
Because you belong to Christ.
You see, that's what give the drink of water in my name means because of Christ, on account of Jesus Christ. On account of Jesus Christ means it was done in Christ's name.
But wait, when you come and you're thirsty and I give you the drink of water, do I have to say, I give you this cup of water in Christ's name?
No. You are thirsty and go see your cup of water. No, that's what Jesus Christ wants you to do. When I
authority. Lord of mercy. I'll have to stop here. Ooh-wee. We won't have time today, ladies and gentlemen, to show you that even evil spirit know and acknowledge the difference between man's authority and Christ. Let me, that is a brother. Brother, you have your invitation. Acts 19. Quick, brother. Acts 19. And let me Bible in my hand that I'm not tempted to Acts 19. I hold my Bible in my hand because I've been hiding my prayer to get out of this
lesson. Just to show you that you see a panic attack from around verse 11.
And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul.
You all hear that? God accomplished special miracles by the hands of Paul. Really?
So that from his body were brought unto the sick,
mm-hmm,
handkerchiefs or aprons.
Mm-hmm. And handkerchiefs were brought from sick people and the apron.
And the disease.
The kitchen and food that they take out the apron and sing for Paul. And they were
reborn. And the disease departed from them.
Reborn.
And the evil spirits went out of them.
The evil, that is spirit and that is departed. Reborn.
Then certain of the vagabond Jews.
What type of Jews?
Vagabond.
Are you called vagabond? Certain of the vagabond Jews. They have no good. They have no principle by which they live. Reborn.
Exorcists took
their people, witchcraft people,
took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits.
Wait. Paul and the others did what they did in Christ's name. And he expressed that they are being told that what we do, we are doing it in Christ's authority and in Christ's name. Now, these folks are workers.
Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew. A Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. And Paul, I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and came over and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded.
For our grace to us.